The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jewish religious leaders began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes this has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Today we're going to be recognizing and honoring Edith Myers, who's graduated from Sheldon High School and is headed off to Syracuse University. And I want to tell a special message to Edith right now. Edie, someday all the annoying things that your parents did will be missed. Trust me. And I say that because it never ceases to amaze me as an adult now, living independent from family for decades, never ceases to amaze me how our childhood memories come flooding back to us. The kinds of things that you hadn't thought of in a really long time. And suddenly, they come to mind. This past week, I happened to recall one of the many things, actually, that I found particularly annoying as a child. It was the memory I have of when my mother or father would come into my bedroom in the morning and announce, rise and shine. It often came with a nudge, a gentle, soft touch on the shoulder, which to me felt like a jarring get up. But for that greeting, it wasn't just the words that they said that made it me cringe, but it was the all too cheerful voice with which they said it. Rise and shine. The message was clear. It was time to get up. But I am not, and never have been, a morning person. So I would hear their voice, rise and shine. And to be honest, all I wanted to do was pull the covers over my head and go right back to sleep. Of course, today, even if that message were being delivered at O Dark 30, and even if it came to me as a jarring waking up from a restful, blissful night of sleep, I'd give just about anything to feel their touch and hear that annoyingly cheerful voice saying, rise and shine, because my parents are now no longer living. And Edie, you're going to be all the way across the country. And there will be times you will miss their voice. But there's always the cell phone. There's FaceTime. There's ways of keeping in touch. But I think all of us who have lost our parents know what I'm talking about. We know what it feels like to lose somebody that was close to us. And that memory surfaced for me because of our first reading for today. Chris gave us the background of that, and it's important to know that background because we heard that Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness. But what we didn't hear, and Chris did explain to us, was that what happened before that was that Elijah had been declared a great prophet. He was truly a man of God. In fact, we look back and we think of him as the greatest of all prophets. But he fled out of fear for his life. And as Chris explained, it was Ahab's wife Jezebel who was out to get him, because he had killed the prophets, or had them killed, the prophets of Baal, the false god, the small g god. Fleeing for his life, Elijah makes a rather despairing lament, pleading that his life may be taken away by Almighty God, not by at the hands of Jezebel or her cohort. And then we heard how he laid down and took a nap, fearful, weary, defeated. All those feelings, everything that he was feeling in those moments, much as he was ready to give up on life, it was clear his time had not yet come. God wasn't done with Elijah. There was still work for him to do. Touched by an angel, perhaps more like being rudely awakened, Elijah was told to get up and eat. And we heard how God provided him sustenance, a cake baked on hot coals, and a jar of water. A simple meal. And Elijah ate and drank, and then laid down again. The angel came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat." Elijah was being instructed to get up and eat so that he would have strength for the journey ahead. But you certainly can't blame Elijah for fleeing or even wanting his life to end. I think we all know how easy it is to fall into the trap of hopelessness and despair. It's easy to become disillusioned, to think there's nothing worth living for, and that the problems that are around us are insurmountable. But the angel's message to Elijah, and the message my parents delivered to me, is a message I think we all need to hear. Get up and eat. Rise and shine. As the world we live in today spins wildly out of control, it would be far too easy for us to curl up under the covers and go to sleep. But God is not done with us yet. There is much more work that needs to be done. Every single day we hear of the atrocities inflicted on human beings, on humanity, and on creation itself. The prevalence of sin, deep-rooted sin, and self-reliance and self-importance, the hubris that we have, the lack of self-awareness, can immobilize and prevent us from living fully into the baptismal identity as imitators of God, as beloved children of God. In recent memory, I cannot think of a time when the United States of America has been more divided. Politics notwithstanding, for many of us, the problems we face as a society do seem overwhelming and insurmountable. I'm sure many of us can't help but wonder, what has happened to human decency? To looking out not merely for one's own interests, but for the interests of the whole community, for the good of the whole. Why is it so difficult for us to follow God's command to love thy neighbor as thyself, to live peaceably with one another in spite of our differences, It's no wonder to me that many people seem to be giving up on life. Some are going down a very dark hole. Some are pulling the covers over their head, trapped beneath overwhelming feelings of despair and hopelessness. Perhaps even struggling with thoughts that life simply is not worth living anymore. Or feeling utterly defeated and weary and fearful, just as Elijah did. Elijah, when he fled into the wilderness and asked that he might no longer go on living, yet the message God sent to him was clear: get up and eat, rise and shine. So let me remind you, as people of faith, we can trust on the mighty acts of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who empowers and equips us to get up and eat, to rise and shine. Our strength and courage comes from our God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The words of Scripture are true, and they have held true for centuries. They're meant to remind us of God's everlasting covenant, that God is for life, for us, for all people. That God intends to work with us and through us and even in spite of us. We need those reminders, like those from the lips of the psalmist who said, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in him." Or from the lips of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And words of encouragement from the writer of Ephesians: "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So that, as the writer of Colossians put it, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Open your ears, O faithful people. Open your ears and your hearts to hear the word of the Lord. Get up and eat. Take and eat the bread of life, Christ's body broken for you, Christ's blood poured out, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Christ's blood shed for you, Christ's body shed for you. Get up and eat, beloved children of God, so that you may be fed and nourished by the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get up and eat so that you may be strengthened for the journey ahead. My parents were right. There comes a time to get up, rise and shine. And that, my friends, that time is now. Rise and shine, people of God. Rise and let your light so shine that others may see your good works and give glory to our God in heaven. Taste and see the grace eternal. Taste and see that God is good. Get up and eat. Rise and shine. There's much work to be done. Amen.